Hi, my name is Pat, and Jesus Christ is my Savior and my Lord. And I'd like to do a commentary on day 26. And the Bible verses are Romans chapter 10, verses 14 and 15. And they read, "How then can they call on the one they have not believed in? And how can they believe in the one of whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? And how can they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those that bring good news." That is always, there's some Bible verses that I find when I read them that they're very melodious. They sound like a melody. And so I wanted to talk about these verses and also then to talk about the concept of having beautiful feet. In other words, that some of you, some who can hear my voice, will be called to be missionaries in what we call the rooms of recovery, or I call them the secular rooms, because even though they may speak about God, they do not speak about Jesus. And it's very, very, very important that all of mankind know about Jesus. He is God in the flesh. He is the only way to eternal life. The Bible says that, you know, in more than one places, that there is no other name under heaven given to men by which we must be saved. And so if you are in my reign of my voice right now, or you can hear this recording lately, and you feel that you belong in those 12-step rooms, and at the same time you are professing that Jesus is your Lord and Savior, hear my heart. My heart is that take on the role of a missionary. If you're there thinking that you have to be in those rooms to be abstinent, you are sadly mistaken. I can say that with all clarity. The Bible says that you cannot serve two masters. Either Jesus is the master of your life, or, you know, you're looking for somewhere else for answers, and that is not right. That's not true. And I say this again. I say it very emphatically. I know that every time I say it, I get fan mail, or not necessarily coming by the email, but I definitely get feedback that some people are very angry. They don't want to hear this, but I must say it. I feel like Ezekiel on the wall. I got to say this. Don't be fooled. You will, some of you, be called to be missionaries in those 12-step rooms. But I can tell you the big way that you know whether you're a missionary or not. Number one, are you abstinent? Are you already abstinent? Number two, have you been abstinent for a length of time? You know, have you been abstinent? This is not a new thing for you. It's not even under a year, I would say. Have you been abstinent for a fair amount of time? And number three, are you a prayer warrior? Are you in those rooms while you're in those meetings? Are you praying for people at those meetings? Or are you being entertained, looking at the sins of others and somehow feeling like you're above that because you, quote-unquote, know of the Lord? And then the fourth thing I would say, are you in the Word of God? Not in a light way, but understanding that the Word of God is what is going to bring any conviction from anybody and what they need to do. So this whole section on day 26 is about beautiful feet, and it's definitely the process that I myself had to go through. You know, I can talk from experience. about it, you know, what happened to me and what I have come to understand and know. And I'll say it with clarity, and I will say it at the risk of, you know, like I said, getting bullets left and right. But I say it out of the love of the Lord Jesus and the love that He has for all people. He doesn't want anyone to perish. And so if indeed you are thinking that you are in those meetings to be missionaries, then my challenge to you is to act like one. Act like one. Are you abstinent and you're strong in your abstinence? You know, and are you prayerful? Are you in the Word in there? Are you doing these things? Anyway, this is the verse that I was thinking about when I did this writing. And like I said, this was my own metamorphosis. This is the things that I had to come through in my own thinking. That Romans 10, 14 and 15 stressed the importance of proclaiming the gospel for people to hear, believe, and call on the God for salvation. And that's very important. I have to, first, number one, I got to live in a way that is different from people. That people, even at a distance, you know, that they can see that something is guiding my life that is not of the world. That is a different guide that I have. And so, of course, it's going to be that way when I am with unbelievers who are caught in what they don't even understand is sin. They just think it's a matter of learning some skills and they will get over it. But it's not true, because this is what we do know by knowing the Lord Jesus Christ, is that we deal with an adversary. We deal with a devil. And see, a lot of times if a person has not made that profession of Jesus Christ, they're afraid of the devil. They don't want to talk about the devil. They would rather call it disease or any other name, but call it for what it is, an adversary, Satan. No, they won't do it. But we cannot live in denial. We have to know and let people know, yeah, there is an adversary. And so we have to live in a way, again, that people can see that we have hope in our life. We're not fearful of that adversary, but neither are we ignorant of it. And so those verses also emphasize that there's a chain of events that happen, you know, to help a person come to a saving knowledge of Jesus. And this, again, is our primary purpose. Our primary purpose is no longer what it says in those 12 steps. It's not just to get someone abstinent. It is to get them kneeling at the foot of the cross and receiving their salvation. And so they have to have hearing. You know, and then once they hear the word, they will be convicted to call on God. You know, if you go to that whole Romans chapter 10, you will see that, you know, that there are three major sections in there. There is that necessity of proclaiming the gospel. And then it goes on to the role of a preacher and a messenger, and also the blessings that we get when we spread the good news. And so there is a necessity of proclaiming the gospel. You know, people cannot call on Jesus Christ without belief. And belief is impossible without hearing. And like I said, they will hear it from the things that I say. But more importantly, how am I living it? And if I am in those rooms and I am flipping and flopping and flipping and flopping and abstinence, and I'm crying out, and I'm also showing that I have a confusion about my identity. You know, one of the first things that I was convicted about when I was in those 12-step rooms after I had made a profession of faith is that I could no longer, I could no longer say, "Hi, my name is Pat. I am a compulsive overeater and I am powerless over food." Those things were no longer true for me. They weren't true for me anymore. I am not a compulsive overeater. Now, let me tell you, I can have amnesia and behave like what I am no longer. I am no longer a person like that. I'm not. The Bible says I am a new creation, and I know that. I know that I belong to the Lord. I am a new creation, and from this mouth, I am not going to lie. I'm not going to confuse people. I'm not going to claim over myself that I am a compulsive overeater. No, I am not going to claim over myself that I am an addict. No, this is not who I am. This is not who I am. I am a living child of the Holy King of God. I am the Almighty Lord of Lords is my God. And everything about me has to shout that truth. Everything about me has to shout that truth of who I am. And I definitely am not powerless. That is a lie from the pit of hell. Because when I came to know Jesus as my Lord, He placed His Spirit inside of me. And nothing can snatch me out of His hands ever again. And it's not based on how I'm feeling. It's not. And it's not based on what I do. It's based on what He has done for me. In the truth of His word, He doesn't lie in His word. The Bible says this about John 5:24. In John 5:24, I have crossed over from death to life. I've done it. I've crossed over. I am a new creation in Christ. So I got to proclaim that. I got to proclaim that in everything I do. And so I am a bringer of the good news. You know, one of the verses that I love so, so much when I lose my way, like I said, when I get amnesia, I want to go back to what Jesus said over Himself. When He started the ministry, you know, Jesus, Son of God, God's Son, take that scroll. And it is found in the book of Isaiah. But I memorized it from Luke. It's Luke 4:18-19. And this is what it says. It says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because He has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoner and recovery of sight for the blind." You know, this is what I have been called to do, you know, and I am called to release the oppressed and to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. How am I going to release people from bondage if I myself am in bondage myself? And so the bottom line for me in terms of abstinence is to realize that God Himself is the author of my abstinence, and I need to come clean with Him. And the way that I come clean with Him is that I come clean with the Savior. You know, the blood of Jesus. The Bible says that, you know, that the Bible song, there's a little Bible song that, you know, they sing. What can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. And let me tell you, that was a big thing that I had to learn too. I cannot even tell you how many inventories I wrote. Inventories of writing and writing and writing and writing about the sin issue as if, and number one, I didn't even call it a sin issue. I would call it, quote, character defects and things like that. But the truth is this, you know, I don't even need to know the why of why I sin as much as I need to know the how of getting out of it. I didn't even see that the amount of time, I mean, I spend gobs of time reading, the big book and underlining it and being in meetings about it and talking about it and things like that. Why would I, who now I am a born-again Christian in the Lord Jesus Christ, I learn more about my Savior by being in His Word. I only have 24 hours in a day. So why would I put my time in something that is not God-breathed? There's one place that's God-breathed, and then it's in the, Jesus' Word. It's in the Word of God. It's in the Bible. And so any place where I want, that I'm thinking I'm going to get help, I have to understand salvation, what salvation is all about, that we all have sinned and we all have fallen short of the glory of God. There is no one righteous, not even one, but there is still one or only one name under heaven that can save us. And that name is Jesus Christ. And I dare not go anywhere and bring confusion to people and to actually lie to them, to help them think that they can just have a God of their understanding. No. The bottom line is that we have to understand God. And He has given us His Word in order for us to understand Him. And we must be in that Word to do that. And so, going to the reading, yes, I have beautiful feet. And God, definitely He wants me to spread the good news to everyone, that I can come to. And I know now today, like I said, my addiction is a sin issue. And I could do nothing on my own to fix it. But God had already provided a way for my sins to be reconciled. And that way, the truth and the life is through Jesus Christ, His Son. I could, like I've said in this writing, I thought that if I wrote enough inventories, did enough steps, made enough amends, that I could get over that situation with the food. No, it's not. If you think that devil cannot storm the door of something that is not covered by the blood of Jesus, you're in for a horrible surprise. People have, years and years of thinking that they're okay, and then, bloop, one thing happens, and they cannot do it, because they realize, finally, that it takes the Lord to do it. And I had to put my trust in Jesus. I did. And God, has told me this. I don't want to go into amnesia. Amnesia is that prime thing that would get me back into the food. Because, like I said, I know that I have eternal life. I know that on the day that I die, I know where I'm going. God has put that inside of me. But I want to show my love for Him by joining Him in His work. He does not want anyone to perish, no one to perish. And so I want to be a strong follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. I don't want to act as if I don't know better. I know better. I do. And I don't want to act as if what He has promised is somehow less than what the world would like to give me. No, I'm not. It doesn't matter to me. And many times, no, I cannot do all the things that people in the world love to do and enjoy doing and, are nice things to do. But God has given me an eternal purpose. He has given me an eternal purpose, and that is to live this life in such a way that people know who my Lord and Savior is. There is no ambiguity about it. None. None at all. And so I want to be prayerful, praying all the time to stay very close to the Lord myself. But to stay out of the food, to stay in the Word, to walk in the way that God has given me to walk. But let me pray. Father, I just thank you so much that you own me. I belong to you. And I am so grateful. I can shout it from the mountaintops. Thank you, Father, for saving this little life of mine. In the name of the Lord Jesus, I pray. Amen.